focus on what you would have for us this morning as your servant brings the word, Lord. I thank you, God, that we have the right and the freedom, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. I pray, God, that we would take every opportunity, Father, that we have in corporate worship, Lord. I thank you, Father, that the church is a gift from you, that you've given us one another, God, to walk this life out with, Father. And I just pray, God, for just your spirit, God. We know that your spirit is with us, Father, and we ask that your spirit would have full rule and reign, God. I pray, God, that we would experience conviction, Father, that there would be repentance, Father, that there would be encouragement, Lord God, that obedience would come forth from all that we hear, Father, and that our hearts would be good soil, Lord. So we thank you for this opportunity as we go into this time of worship, God, that these songs are sung over us, God, and that they would be received unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's worship our King.
Amen.
I hear shores. I got nothing to lose. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for you, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Come on.
I thank you, Lord Jesus. That no greater love than this was displayed, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Than you laying down your lives for us, Lord. And no greater hope that we can have. That you rose again on that third day. The resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The plan all along to redeem mankind.
Yes.
From their rebellion. To reconcile them back to the Father. That they may be at peace with their God. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus, may you be honored and glorified in and through our lives for those who are in Christ, for those who have been born again,
yes,
of the new nature, filled with the Holy Spirit, called to live lives not to grieve the Spirit, but to walk in step with the Spirit so that they would not gratify the desires of their flesh. Oh, this is a victorious life. Your word says that you've given us everything we need to live a godly life. God, you've called us to it and you've provided for us that we may live in it. That we may experience the fullness. The power of the resurrection. But the Bible says that is within us. Oh God, help us to take our eyes off of ourselves, off of our circumstances. And oh God, may we fix them upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May we throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and continue the race. Not by our might, nor by our power. Oh, but by your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can gather. God, thank you that we could open up your word, that we have access to it, that we can be encouraged by it, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that it's the living word, that it's the mirror that we are to look into intently and not turn away and forget what we look like, but know God. We just can't be hearers of it, but we must be doers of it. So I do pray that as your word goes forth today, God, that our hearts will be a good soil to receive.
Yes, Lord.
That it'll take root. Now, Father, you know exactly where each one of us are at, and Holy Spirit, how to minister to each one of us. It is your loving kindness that will lead us to repentance, that will bring forth conviction, Lord, that we may get up. That we may not grow weary or become complacent, but that we would be productive, effective laborers in your harvest. And that our heart's cry would be, here I am, Lord, send me. And so, Father, we thank you. All glory and honor to your name and your name alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning. And good morning to those who are online. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you at a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Again, these two verses that I've been holding up for the past 7 months or so, hoping to encourage you to live the Christian life, not in and of your own strength, not in and of your own doing, but allowing, if you're truly born again, allowing Christ to be manifested through you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, whom you've been given, to live out truth. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. And so as Christians, there is no other way to live this godly life except through Jesus. Not through our own doings, not through any other ways, but Jesus. And that's why Jesus has to be the center. He has to have the access and the throne of our hearts. He is the King. As I've been saying over the past weeks, your Christian life is not a life that you just turn on and turn off. I'm a Christian in this moment, but I'm not in this moment because I feel this, or I want that, or I desire this, or that. No, we are to be a people that is consistent in our walk. And you say, but Pastor, I fail. Okay, fine, but don't let your failure define you.
Yes.
It's Christ's consistency through you that should define your life. You feel the conviction, you feel the weight of it, which you should. The Bible talks about repentance, the genuine repentance. It's a godly sorrow. It's a deep remorse. Like, oh God, like you feel it. Like, what am I doing here? As the Spirit of God is convicting you. Because again, it's His loving kindness that is drawing you, that is leading you to repentance. So our failures and our sin do not define us. It is Christ and His victory. And it's the hope that's in Him that defines us as we continue to move forward. And so before I turn this morning over to William, I want you to go to Romans for me real quick. So I want to touch on a subject that's before us. Everyone's talking about it on social media. So Romans chapter 2 is where I'm going to head, but I want to talk to you about Romans 1 first. Romans 1 talks about the good news of the gospel. And then it goes into God's anger at sin. And it talks through how God turns us over to our desires. It's a form of judgment. He abandons us. What we desire to want to be Lord of our lives, He will then turn us over to it. And so it tells us what happens to one who is turned over to their desires. They do degrading things with their bodies. They enter in these relationships. They are empowered and run over by sin. And they are enslaved. And that's the nature we are before we are born again. We are rebellion. We are in rebellion towards His holy throne. All of us are born into sin, that sin nature. So Paul is addressing the church, and I find it interesting, and you can do this on your own time because we've done it over the years when I preached out of this. But it's interesting, he starts and he's laying this out, and I can only imagine the church sitting there when he's laying it out, telling them, this is God's anger at sin. And so the church is like, yeah. And then in chapter 2. Oh, let me see. Chapter 1, verse 31. They refuse, those who have been turned over. They refuse to understand. They break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyways. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Chapter 2, verse 1. You may think, talking to the church, you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. And you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself. For you who judge do these very same things. And we know that God, in His justice, will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, and this is what I want to hone in on before I turn it over. Don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can you see that His kindness is intended to turn you from sin? And as those who have been talking about it, as those who watched the opening ceremonies of the Olympics and all the filth that was displayed on that stage and on the platform for the world to see, Yes, as a Christian, it sickens me. Yes, it infuriates me. But then it humbles me. Because if not but for God, that would be me. If not for God, it would be you. They're lost. They are enslaved to sin. They know no better. And oh, how I'm praying for them. Oh, how I'm praying for them. That God would awaken them. That it would be His loving kindness that would bring them to repentance. Because if not, if they do not repent, if they do not turn from their sin, they are going to be swallowed up into His wrath. They are in full rebellion against Him. But how gracious He is towards a sinner.
Yes.
It is His loving kindness that draws us to repentance, that we might be redeemed, saved, sanctified, sealed until the day of redemption. No longer marked for what we were, but now can stand in His presence because of who He is.
Yes.
If we would just believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see, Paul was addressing the issue in the church in Rome, as it is with every church in all generations. And as I've been encouraging you over these past few weeks, as I've been talking about the spirit of deception. Now listen. What we see going on is only going to continue to increase until the days that He returns. But as believers, we're to look at Jesus. And how did Jesus respond to a wicked, wicked, wicked creation? He came to save them. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Because the world already stands condemned, because man would rather love darkness than light.
Yes.
And so I'm stirred up all weekend about what I viewed, the gospel, the church in the earth, the moment that we have to seize each and every single day to pray. And to be about our Father's business. We're not above Christ not to love people. The world I don't condemn because they stand condemned. What I offer the world is salvation, the gospel through Jesus Christ. But do not get confused, church, because I know we like to, because the enemy loves to whisper in our ear. Oh, but we are to judge what's going on in the church. It's the church folks that's quick to say, don't judge me, don't judge me. Oh no, I have every right, you have every right to judge what's going on in the church. Because that's what we're called to. We're called to judge what's happening in the church. Because sin is not to be mastering the church.
Yes.
We're not to be just allowing sin to run amok. We're not allowing sin to be what's dominant in the church. Because then Christ loses His witness. Because what would be His purpose then? So before we're so quick to point our fingers at the world, how bad, how bad, how bad, how evil, how disgusting. You better look at ourselves. Humble ourselves. Deal with the sin in our lives. That's why I challenge y'all each and every single day. You should be preaching the gospel to yourself every day. Throughout, moment by moment, if needed, depending on the season you're in. Because that's what you're preaching out there. That's what you're preaching out there. So Paul's addressing, hey, listen, this is what's going on. Here's God's anger. But hey, you all are doing the same thing. Don't you remember it's His kindness. It's His kindness that will lead you to repentance. You're judging them, but the same things are going on in here. That's not how it's supposed to be. You can't keep hidden sin. You can't just keep running amok. You can't just be bombarding the church, allowing your filth just to keep contaminating it, and expect people just to sit back and go, oh, that's just how he is, that's just how she is. No. There's a standard, not because man has placed it. No, God has placed it. And you know that standard? Holiness. Yes. Be holy as I'm holy. Oh, but God, that's such a... But when we say, but God, that's... I don't know how... Because we're looking on ourselves. In and of ourselves, we never can. But that's the good news. But in Him, we can. And that's the call of a disciple. To deny yourself, to pick up the cross, and to follow Him daily. To humble ourselves before Him. That in Romans 6, sin is... It's Romans chapter 6, sin is no longer our master. If we're in Christ. We're no longer a slave to it, because now we're a slave to righteousness. And so I just wanted to touch on that at the beginning before I had William come up, because I know everyone's talking about it. I know it's all over social media, but I think before the church keeps standing on her platform, pounding the drum, pointing her finger, like there's work we need to do in our own hearts, and in our own homes, and in our own lives, and our own fellowships, to say, hey, wait a minute. Those are lost, broken, condemned people. I don't put the standard of Christ on them. I expect them to do that. And I expect it to get worse. Because that's what the Word tells us. But the expectation that we have in the church, though. Oh, no. Again, man didn't set it. God has set it. Because you've been born again. And that's the encouragement I hope you can take away. And William, I'm so blessed, brother, to have you with us today. I'm looking forward to you sharing and feeding us this morning. So, brother, come on up.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Good to see you all again.
Good to see you.
I didn't forget my driver's license this time.
All right, brother.
I've got my Bible. I'm always forgetting something, right? I'm getting better. At least I think I am.
There you go.
Okay, I'm putting my glasses on. I like what Pastor Rob started with. That was excellent. He mentioned the spirit of deception. Mm-hmm. I want us all to think about something when we talk about angels, right? We all know angels are very powerful beings, mm-hmm. also created by God, much more powerful and wiser than we are, by far. We can't even imagine how much. Mm-hmm. Satan deceived the third one. Mm-hmm. How much easier is it for us to be deceived? Mm-hmm. So let's think about that, mm-hmm. right? Before we get on our high horses, mm-hmm. right, and believe that we know everything and quick to condemn, as Pastor Rob mentioned, Paris Olympics, that's everywhere. So we shouldn't be surprised. We should not be surprised. If we want to do something about it, of course, pray for those individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But also, the world loves its money. Boycott it by not watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't condemn them and say you should. Of course, we can say we did, but don't start calling names exactly. And condemning yeah. them in that way. But boycott it, because the world loves mm-hmm. its money. And if we don't get that money... Mm-hmm. Guess what? We got to rethink about doing this 4 years from now. How are we going to do it?
Amen,
right? Christians, we control, we don't know it, but we control a lot of the economy mm-hmm. in this world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's think about that and let's hold strong to our truth. Mm-hmm. You know, that should make you angry. You should have some righteous anger over it. But don't let your anger turn into sin.
Yes, man.
Right? Because then they'll quickly say, see, I told you those Christians. See, I told you they can't live by that. I told you how they are. They say forgive, but they're not forgiving. They're pointing their fingers at me and condemning me quickly.
Mm.
All we were just doing was just showing our art. And we were proclaiming Christ and the Lord's Supper in this. That's what we were doing. Why are they talking about us that way? Don't let them quickly point the finger and turn the tables on us. Mm-hmm. All right. So what is this born again preacher going to say today?
Mm-hmm. All right.
My son told my wife and I yesterday, last night, he wants to be baptized.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
I said, that's a good thing, son. I'm glad you want to be baptized. There's a lot more I want to teach you, son. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand the process and what you're getting into, know more about Christ. And yes, you will be baptized. But I want you to be committed and understand the goal of you being baptized. What is the cost of that? Mm-hmm. And the understanding of that. So he will not be one of those three different seeds that fell on the ground, did not spring up good fruit, right? Mm-hmm. So, what is this born again preacher going to say today? Well, I would say this is one of the most challenging subjects teachers, pastors, preachers speak about, because I'm going to talk about sin today. Mm-hmm. It's one of those sermons, you know, we don't get a lot of praise for. At the end of the sermon, you don't have a lot of people come up to you and say, thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for bringing that good word. You know, you don't hear that a lot when we talk about sin. Right? But I'm talking about, we all know the big sins. We all know, we quickly to point, even the point of ourselves, the big sins. But what about those hidden sins? Those sins like we do not even realize we conform to, and it's sin. All right? So, forgot my Bible, so bear with me. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version today. Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48. And Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 16 through 19. Just coming to my mind. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? A man or a woman, what does it profit? What does it profit to have all the riches, to have all the wealth? Now that's the extreme, right? Because no one can have all the riches in the world. We haven't seen anyone throughout history have all the riches in the world. Mm. Right? So that's an extreme. What does it profit a man? But if we're not careful, what does it profit a man to conform to this and lose his soul? What does it profit a man or a woman to conform to all the needs of their family and lose their soul? To conform all the needs of the success of their job or their career and lose their soul. To conform to the needs of friends and lose their soul. And some of us are doing it every day. I have been corrected. I don't know if it was just revelation or reading the word. I have been corrected. I can't do that. I can't conform to that. Mm. So let's start with Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through 48.
What is it?
Mark chapter 9. And Jesus is teaching through the extreme here, right? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Wow. Cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If I can't control one of my hands, Christ said, cut it off. Have we ever known anybody to do that? For the sake of not losing their soul to go to heaven so they wouldn't go to hell? Who knows? Maybe it has. But let's keep reading. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell. Now, this is Jesus Christ, the loving, the kind, the graceful, our God. Wow. No, that's not in the Bible. God's not telling us, God. Yes, it is. Cut it off. Pluck it out. If it's causing you to sin. If you're watching television show and you just can't stop watching that television, get rid of that television. If it's causing you to sin. If you're hanging around friends and you keep saying, man, I don't want to go to this place when I'm with them, but they keep making me go. You gotta leave us. You know, find something else to do on that day or get rid of those friends. You know, if you're constantly doing anything that causes you to sin, ladies and gentlemen, you got to figure a way to get out of it.
Yes.
And get out of it fast. Because we don't know when that's our day of judgment. We don't. Christ is forgiving. He calls us to repentance. All right, but those hidden sins, ladies and gentlemen, that nobody knows about. And I'm not saying we all got them. But it's even those sins that we conform to. Think about this. If you can't watch a show with your children, you should not be watching that show. If you can't listen to a music or a singer with your children, you should not be listening to it. If you can't go out with your friends, with your children, they probably shouldn't be your friends. That's a good way to judge. That's the meter you should live by. We say, oh no, children, it's not good for the ears. Well, it's not good for your ears either. If you can't invite your pastor to go out with you and your friends because you feel embarrassed or something might be exposed, they should not be your friends. If you can't watch a show that you like a lot with your pastor, you should not be watching that show. Same thing for music. That's the standard we should be living by. Right? Because this is what happens. We conform to things, right? Like, okay, nobody's around. God forgives me. He knows there's no harm there. Let me watch this show. Let me listen to this. This is my favorite song. I got to listen to this. You know, I used to listen to this in the past. It's cool. I'm born again now. It's okay. I go to church every day now. I pray a lot more. There's nothing going to happen, but I just love this song. I like watching this show. Yeah, it talks about, it's a lot of killing. And my son and I, he was asking me last night. I told my son I was going to expose him today. I'm going to bring him up. I mean, commercial came on for Wolverine and Deadpool. Honestly with you, I want to watch that show. But I told my son, he said, Daddy, why can't I watch it? I said, son, you can't watch it. He said, why? I said, because it has a lot of cursing and killing in it. As soon as I said that, I realized I can't watch that show. I like a lot of movies with action and things like that. But if it has killing in it and cursing in it, I got to turn away from those things. Because if I can't have my son and enjoy it with him, I should not be watching it. If I'm trying to teach him the values of life and being a Christian and things like that, he's going to be like, well, Daddy was telling me this, but he was doing that. Now, I don't understand. Why was he doing that? And telling me I can't do it, but he doesn't. Same thing we do in the church, right? Our pastor Rob, we're quick to point the finger. Don't take a splinter out of their eye without taking a beam out of yours. In other words, don't talk about how sinful they are without dealing with your sin first. There's a lot of sin that we do every day. We realize it and we don't realize it. The ones you realize, ask God for help. Some of these things you can stop right away. It's just a matter of wanting to. Forget those things, I'm trying. You know, I have to. Trying, I don't know, I just don't like the word trying. It's either you do or you don't. Right? It's either doing or don't. Alright, so trying, I don't know, can you try to be holy? Is that God's standard? I think I'm a good person, but I'm lying to myself. Every day, if I think that, I'm lying to myself. I think I'm a good person. And you know what's secret about that? If I think I'm a good person, fundamentally, that's pride. Pride has a lot of roots for a lot of sins that's out there. Oh, I can deal with this. I can deal with this. It's good. I have enough word in me now. I have enough scripture in me now. I pray enough. I can deal with this. That's pride. So let's go to Proverbs. Do you mind reading, Carrie?
You want me to read out of the
New King James?
Yep. Yes. Pull it up.
Proverbs chapter 6, starting at 16. Now, what's an abomination to God? Anyone has an answer? Things that he hates severely. He hates sin. That's written. But an abomination are things that he hates severely. All right. So, you go ahead and start.
Okay. Proverbs 6, starting in verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, even seven are an abomination to him. A proud look.
Stop right there for a second. Thank you, Carrie.
Yeah.
Six things. But he's going to repeat one of them twice. And we do it every day. Because we conform to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, these things is an abomination to the Lord. A severe things he hates. We're talking about the God of creation, of heaven and earth, who gave you mother and a father, who gave me a mother and a father, who created everything. Everything that we have here right now was created at the beginning of time. There has been no water added. There has been no wood added. There has been no metal added. There has been no ear added. God, the creator of heaven and earth, knew exactly what the world needed from the beginning. Didn't have to add anything to it. Didn't have to take anything from it. We're talking about God. Something he severely hates. That should get your attention. I do not want to fall into the wrath of God. Even with all the grace Lord Jesus Christ has put upon us, all his kindness, all of his mercy, I do not want to fall into the wrath of God. Something he severely hates. A proud look. That's pride. I wanted to think about something. I was reading this. If we're not careful, we're talking about the Olympics. Competition is pride. If you say, I want to be better than him. if you say, I want to be better than her, or I am better than him, or I am better than her, that's pride. It's the difference if you're doing, working just to be the best you can to represent your country. That's not pride. Just doing the best you can in the glory of the Lord. But if you suddenly start saying, I'm better than this person, I'm better than that person, that's pride. Let's take that into the work field. I'm a better employee than he or she is. Take that to church. I pray more than her. I worship more than him. I'm a better Christian than they are. I'm not sinful like they are. That is pride. Those are real subtle things. And I'm going to go back to what I said in the beginning. Satan deceived a third of the angels. Mm-hmm. Be careful, make sure he doesn't deceive you or me. And thinking highly of ourselves. I'm thinking, I received so much revelation in Christ. There's a scripture I had to learn to like. I really did not like it because it put a lot of judgment on me. Right? It says, teachers of the gospel will have a stricter judgment. Nope, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Let me read that over. Let me make sure I understand the context and everything. Let me read two chapters ahead of it. Let me read this all thing. Let me see what he's talking about. No, I'm talking about teachers. We have a stricter judgment. So, teachers, preachers, have to be extra careful in their lives. There's a stricter judgment on us. Just like there's a stricter judgment, and this is not, I would say, putting down women anyway. But there's a stricter judgment on men than there is on women. And that's throughout the gospel. Side note real quick. Sarah laughed at God. But no punishment on her whatsoever. Imagine if that was Abraham. So we have to be careful, men. Think about this. John the Baptist's father. He questioned an angel, and he was punished for it. Mary had the same question. She was not punished for it. There's a stricter judgment on men than it is on women. I heard a man say, man, I'd rather be a woman. I said, no, you don't. I don't know why you would rather be a woman. And this was a Christian guy. I said, no, I don't want to be a woman. You need to think about what you said, brother. Rethink that and pray on it. But going back, a proud look. God hates a proud look. He hates pride. And he hates it severely. It's an abomination to him. So, let's think about those small sins when we think that we're better than others. We do it in the workplace. I'm a better employee than he. Oh, he or she, they don't come to work all the time. I should get this promotion. I should be recognized for all this work I'm doing. Yeah, it's kind of true, but be careful of the thoughts. Mm-hmm. Be careful of the thoughts. I should be recognized and he shouldn't or they shouldn't. I do all this work and they don't. How come I'm not being praised for it? Let's think about those small things that can lead us in the wrong direction. Because it starts with a subtle sin. Just want us to be aware of that. And you can continue, Gary. Thank you.
Okay. So verse 17, a proud look. And the next is a lying tongue.
Ooh.
Hands that shed innocent blood.
Thank you, Karen. A lying tongue. How many of us have lied? All of us. How many of us are going to lie in the future? All of us. How many of us maybe might lie today? Even after this. Strong possibility, right? It's an abomination to God. A lying tongue. We lie all through the process. All through it. Every day, we lie. Because we've conformed ourselves to this world. Oh, everybody lies. I just said it, right? Everybody lies. That's conformity. But if you make a commitment not to lie, all you have to do is make a commitment not to lie. Then you don't have to. Tell the truth. What does it hurt to tell the truth? Maybe a little pain, but tell the truth. It hurts. You're thinking about fear of the consequences if you tell the truth. But you're afraid of man. Or should you be afraid of God? Who he says is an abomination to lie. Now he mentions it twice, but we're going to get there. It was six things, but yet seven, yes, that's an abomination to God. Then he says, hands that shed innocent blood. How many of us have shed innocent blood in here? Who else? Scripture says if you hate your brother. See, we're just talking about biological. Go to the scripture. You have committed murder in your heart. So I'm asked again. Who has shed innocent blood? I believe all of us. That's a subtle sin. Jesus Christ on him and said, no, this is God's standard. He said in the scriptures of old, if you murder your brother and kill your brother, God hates. But I tell you, if you have anger in your heart, if you hate your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. And that's innocent blood. Now, this is a very tough thing to live by. Because there's people that's going to do you wrong. So wrong. There's people that's going to do you so wrong. It's undeserving. It's confusing. Even when you've done all good to them. And they come back and did you so bad and treated you so bad. And you don't understand it. How could this be? I've done all this good thing for them and they're treating me this way. Well, if you're not careful, you commit murder in your heart. This is a subtle sin we have to be careful with. Yeah, the obvious one, do not shed innocent blood. I haven't physically murdered anybody. Right? But I've murdered. I have never counted, but I'm sure it's quite a number of a lot of people in my heart, especially not being born again. And some of us has done it being born again. Let's not get high on our horses. Let's repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness. You can keep going on.
All right. Picking up in verse 18. A heart that devises wicked plans.
Let's start right there. Wicked plans. Wicked is every sin there is. Every sin there is. And a heart that devises it. Okay, I'm going to think about lying. That's a heart that devises wicked plans. Or I'm going to think about cheating. That's a heart that devises wicked plans. I'm think about doing this so I can get past fast. I'm not going to follow the rules. I'm going to skip over this. It's a heart that devises wicked plans. I'm going to do this. I know, Lord, I'll just ask for forgiveness later. It's a heart that devises wicked plans. Oh, if I have another opportunity, I'm going to curse that person out. That's a heart that devises wicked plans. Oh, when they'll go to sleep. When Isaiah goes to sleep, my son goes to sleep, I watch that movie. That's a heart that devises wicked plans. I didn't even do it. But I'm thinking on it. Wow, are you kidding me? All I have to do is think on it? Come on, that's hard. I can't control all these things that come into my mind. Majority of them you can. Not all of them you can. But you can realize them and ask for repentance. Ask for forgiveness. That's a very subtle sin. Satan deceived a third of the angels. He can deceive me. And he has been. And he can deceive each and every one of you. So just be careful of that. Everything here starts in the heart first. It all starts in the heart. A heart that divides with your plans. If you just said that, that covered everything here.
Yeah.
Everything. Guys, we don't have a chance if it wasn't for our Savior, Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for grace. Let's not even think about mercy. We didn't even have a chance if there's mercy. Mm-hmm. We need grace. So these little things that would go throughout the day, throughout our daily lives, you know, you get a thought. It comes out of nowhere. Oh, I remember what he said to me before. I remember what she said to me before. Oh, man. If that guy, if I see him again, if my wife wasn't around, if Pastor wasn't around, he'll know. These are wicked plans. And it's very tricky. It's very subtle. It's very subtle. And God hates them severely. You don't have to murder and kill somebody. You don't even have to worship another God. You don't have to be disobedient to your parents. You could condemn every act at the home of the opening of the Paris Olympics and still miss it. And still have a first class ticket to hell. Oh, if I was there, I'll let them people know something. If I was there, those people that's you know, portraying the Lord's Supper and blaspheming against my God, they would know my God after I get done with them. All those are wicked plans. Wicked plans, evil plans, deceitful plans, sinful plans, all up here. Does it make you an evil person? I guess if you interview the people on death row, 8 out of 10 of them say they're good people. Not 9, because some of them are so bad, they'll say, no, I'm not a good person. But you're going to have those in there that did the most heinous things, say, I'm a good person. The reason I did this is because they did that. They led me to this. I misunderstood. Are those evil people? The heart is deceitfully evil. It deceives us. Our own heart deceives us. How is that possible? It's my heart. How can my own heart deceive me? That means I'm looking in the mirror and the whole mirror deceives me. I don't look like how I look. It's mine. It's not, no one else is teaching this heart. The heart is deceitfully evil. Trust in the Lord. trust in his word, try to do everything possible to obey his word continuously. If you feel that you've sinned, you know you've sinned, ask for that repentance. Ask for that forgiveness. Try not to do it again. Because we're falling and we're stumbling every day. Every day. In Revelations, when the scripture said, even the elect will be fooled. We're going to be fooled by the Antichrist. We're going to think this person is God-given, God-brought, but yet we're going to be fooled by him. The elect is us. The elect is the church. The elect is the believers. The elect are the elders, the pastors, the teachers. We're going to be fooled by that man. Because she, most likely a he, is going to be talking great things, godly things, spiritual things, proclaiming Jesus Christ. I was sent here by God. I was sent here by Christ. And we're going to be fooled by him. That's the only way. Because if they don't mention Christ, how are we going to be fooled? It'd be black and white. Oh, they don't mention Christ, I'm not going to believe him. Because they're not, we know he don't, he or she, we know he don't believe in God because he don't even mention. But because he mentions Christ, because he mentions the word of God, the devil knows the scripture more than us. More than us. He knows the details more than us. He knows more secrets of the scripture more than us. He fooled angels. He can fool us. That's why we need a savior. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Where are we?
The second part of verse 18, feet that are swift in running into evil.
Oh, this is a good one. So when I first read this, Proverbs is my most read book. That's just for me. I read Proverbs over and over a lot. The Book of Wisdom. So Ecclesiastes. So when I first read this, I thought that this is about, you know, first thing in my mind, people who just want to run and start trouble. You know, people or guys. And, you know, I've been one of those guys for a short stint in my life that, you know, hang out with the wrong crowd. And you just want to start trouble. Because it's fun. You know, because it's fun. But there's more to that. There's more to this description. If you're that person or who likes to just go with the flow of things, with the friends of things, and you know it's evil, and you know you're hanging out with friends, and you know what they're doing evil, or you're talking or chatting with them, you know it's evil, those are feet that's ready to run to it. A lot of things on social media is pure evil. If we're running to those things, when the pastor's not looking or your Christian colleague is not looking, if we're running to those things on social media that nobody else can find about, and I'm not talking about the extreme things that's on the internet, I'm just talking about those subtle things that you know that's evil. You're the feet that run to evil. Because it's those feet that see the opportunity. Okay, let me run to it. It's an opportunity now. Let me watch this. Let me experience this. Those are feet that run to evil. And remember, the scripture says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is there evil that doesn't hurt anyone? But everyone is doing it anyway? Is there an evil that you can think of? That everyone is... I'll tell you right now, there's movies out there, there's TV series out there that a lot of us in the church watch all the time that is evil. There's music out there that we listen to all the time that is evil. There's people that we listen to that is evil. But because we have an opportunity, we won't do it around our Christian friends, our Christian colleagues, all right? We won't do it around our children. We won't do it around the pastor. But when we get an opportunity and no one knows about it, we will do it. Don't be those feet. Don't run to it when you see it. When you see that opportunity, I can get away with it. I know God knows what I'm doing, but God's a forgiving God, right? It's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to hurt me. I pray enough. I read enough scripture. I go to church Sundays and Wednesdays and Fridays. I do it enough. I'm going to be saved. I have enough word in me that this doesn't bother me. It's not going to affect me negatively. It's not going to affect me in an evil way. I'm not going to repeat what I see. Don't be those feet. And here's a second one. I'm sorry, Carrie.
Verse 19. A false witness who speaks lies.
That's a lying tongue. Why does God put that twice? Say it again, Mama.
Because he's a God of truth, and he's a the enemy saved the father of lies, so he hates it.
He hates it. He hates it. How much does he hate it? It's an abomination. Twice. Out of the six things I hate, I have to put this in there twice. I do not like a lying tongue. Guys, ladies, men and women, we do it all the time. We cannot conform to the world. We are the body of Christ. We have to be the body of truth. The body of truth. The truth sets us free. Everything we do, we have to be truthful about. Everything that comes out of our mouths has to be truthful. And if you're afraid, my advice, if you're afraid of telling the truth and it's forced you to say a lie, then don't speak at all. Don't speak at all. It's rather you don't speak than to lie. Oh, I don't want to talk about that right now. Change the subject. It's better than lying to have the holy God angry with you twice for one sin twice. He hates it. It's an abomination. And the last one.
The last part. And one who sows discord among the brethren.
This is your average troublemaker. Who's that person you at work with that talks about your boss? That person you at work with that talks about another employee? Or that colleague or that Christian colleague you talk about the pastor? You're not happy with his word. You're not happy how he's doing things. Or she's doing things. Now, I'm just saying this, right? Because this is a home setting. Or Pastor Rob shouldn't talk to Pastor Gilda that way. Or Gilda shouldn't have talked to Pastor Rob that way. I don't like what he did. I don't like what she did. Oh, I don't like the dinner today. Not to the dinner. There's no coffee today? What? There's no coffee? What happened to the sweetness? Well, something's going on. Pastor Rob didn't smile at me today. There's a problem. There's a problem. That one that creates discourse among the brethren. Be careful of that one. And don't you be that one. Because that's an abomination to the Lord. That just stirs up trouble subtly. Hey, I just want to talk to you about something. That's between me and you. Please don't pass this on. But what did you think about that? I didn't like it, but what did you think about that? Hey, this has been on my mind. I want to give you some advice. I was just praying about this for so long, and I just couldn't get it off my mind. Really? you've been praying about for so long you couldn't get off your mind? Why can't you get it off your mind? You know that sermon that William preached, the Pastor Rob preached? I don't know. I just didn't like it. Oh, what is it? Is it in the Bible? Yeah, but I just didn't like it. He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to say that. Why did he have to say that? I'm a good person. That's not what the Bible says. Bible's true, right? Don't let pride get into you. Don't go against what God said. Be humble. Be humble to the Lord, for the Lord, for yourself, for your sake. He gives grace to the humble. So these are very sinful things I wanted to point out. These are the subtle things that we need to be aware of every single day. You may not curse verbally at a person, but you can curse them in your mind. You curse them in your heart. You curse them with your eyes. We all know to curse with our finger. That's obvious. But we can curse them in our mind all the time. All the time. How many times we say things and just don't speak it? I'm laughing because sometimes let me back up a little bit. So this born again preacher is standing here. I became more understanding of the scriptures. When I became a father. Not in the church. Not in Bible study. But when I became a father. How much more grace do I have on my son? And mercy do I have on my son? Even when he continues to do the things that I tell him not to do. Should I spank him all the time? Should I punish him all the time? Yesterday, he's tearing up some kind of plastic. I don't know what it is. Isaiah, don't do that. Okay, Daddy. Tearing it up. Isaiah, don't do that. Okay, Daddy. Tearing up. Isaiah, don't do that. Okay, Daddy. I say, wait. Something's wrong here. Isaiah, come here. Am I in trouble? No, you're not in trouble. Come here. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I know, Daddy, but I can't stop. That's sin within us. A lot of times we just can't stop sin by our own power. We need Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. Yes. So think about this. I'm his father. And I pose a question. Should I always punish him? Should I always spank him? Would we want God to treat us like that? Christ is going to rule with an iron rod. Imagine an angel disciplining you every time you did something wrong. It's a tough time to live, right? I'm glad I'm under grace. Imagine God hitting you every time you do something wrong. Punishing you every time you did something wrong. My Lord, I wouldn't want that. I would not want that. So when I teach my son something and he doesn't do it, is he not doing it because he loves me and he respects his father? Or is he not doing it because he's afraid of being punished? So when the father looks at me, am I listening to him because I'm afraid of being punished? Or am I listening to him because I respect and I love him. I have to say the truth, it's a little bit of both there. You know? Because there's going to be a judgment there, right? And I don't want God to be angry with me. I don't want to ask me in those judgments, day of judgment, why did you lie? Why did you have so much pride in your heart? Why did you cause trouble amongst the brethren? Why did you shed innocent blood? I don't want to have to answer those questions. I don't even want the question asked. Ask me something else, please. Please. But don't ask me that. Now the things he hates, that is an abomination in his sight. So, what I was talking about, which made me go on a tangent about my son, what made me become a better understanding of the scriptures when I became a father. If I curse now at every single one of you, who's going to hear it? Who else?
God.
And who else?
Us.
And who else? Me. Now, if I curse at every single one of you, but don't verbally say it, who's going to hear it?
You.
Still curse. And that is the trickiest thing. Still have evil in my heart. So, we hear ourselves talk all the time. I talk to myself all the time. Can you hear your voice? All of us hears our own voice without even speaking a word. So I laughed and thinking about this. Isaiah said to me one day, it was the weirdest thing. Daddy, how come my mind sees? My mind sees. I said, what are you talking about, son? You know, I'm talking about just a random thing. Daddy, our mind sees. My mind sees. I said, what are you talking about? Isaiah, come on, I'm tired. Well, Daddy, every time I think of something, I see it. It's up here. Doesn't have to be verbally. No one else has to hear it. So, if we think of sin, you see it. It's up here. And God knows it too. You don't have to do it. You just have to think it. It's a very dangerous thing. It's a very subtle thing. Christ said, I never knew you. Lord, we have cast out evil spirits in your name. We have prophesied in your name. Christ said, I never knew you. Because you have so much evil. I was just thinking, how could somebody cast out evil spirits in the name of Jesus? How could somebody prophesy in the name of Jesus and Christ say, never knew you? It's the heart. It's the mind. That's what's in us. Whew, man, I'm glad I cast out that devil. But I'm really glad she gave me that money. I needed that. Gave me that offer. I'm really glad. I needed that. Man, I can't wait to go preach over there because they're going to give me a big offer. Man, I love when I'm out there and everybody says I've done a great job and it makes me feel good. It's pride. I feel good when I tell everybody about the gospel and, you know, and everybody talks good about me. They lift me up and, you know, it's just one of those good things that, I don't know, I just know I'm doing the right thing when I'm just out there preaching all day long and, people come and congratulate me and think highly of me. It's pride. Let's be careful. Satan comes as an angel of light. as an angel of light. And when it's my turn, my judgment day, I don't want to miss it. And I don't want you to miss it either. We don't want to miss it. Let's be at that judgment door happy and excited. Here's my time. Here's my joyful time. All that struggle, because Christian life is not easy. All that struggle I had to deal with. Everything I had to deal with serving you, Lord, I am thankful. I made it. I am thankful. I am so happy. I have made it. He who confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, he is saved. So we talk about the mouth, it's very important. But he who believes in his heart. Do you really believe in your heart? Do you? Make sure you do. Make sure you do. Don't just speak it. Believe it and know it. Have that conviction for it. I have a good friend. She's a Jehovah's Witness. She wanted to talk about Christ with me, about my beliefs and everything like that. So I said, sure. In that conversation with her, I said, it's not my job to convert you. I'm not going to try to convert you. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And I said, I want to put this disclaimer out for you before we even start. If I teach you what's the difference between Jehovah's Witnesses and my belief in the faith, and you come to my faith, then your faith is never strong. If I go to your faith, then my faith is never strong. So I want you to think about that. It's my job not to convert you. That's God's job. My job is just to teach you the word. And I, even advise her, I would say, I would like to teach you the truth in front of one of your elders rather than you alone. I will continue to teach you the truth, but I would like one of your elders here as well. So when you have those questions and you're not able to defend them based on what you know, I'd like to hear what your elder has to say. And I can teach him the truth or her the truth as well. It would be a disservice to me, someone who is new in the faith, and she's seeking God, to just try to win her over without truly understanding the word of God. She has to understand the word of God. Why do we need a savior? Why this is the only religion on the face of the earth that has a savior. All other religions on the earth say you'll make it through works. You have to work your way into heaven. There's only one that has a savior. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot stop these deceitful thoughts and these wicked thoughts and the cursing in our hearts. We cannot stop them on our own. That comes with the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Lord Savior Jesus Christ. That is why we have a savior. And if we believe it in our heart, we are saved. We are not saved, ladies and gentlemen. Works are good, but we are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved by grace alone. We're saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
And that faith has to believe in his or her heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead.
Amen.
Put your soul, put your life on that. And all these sins and these abominations that God mentioned that he hates, they will not affect you in any way.
Mm-hmm.
They will not, because you will realize them and you will repent from them and you'll turn away from them. Oh, I can't think that. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't say that in my heart. That is a sin. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. You wake up from a dream. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. got into an argument with somebody on the street. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. But before you even forgive, before you even get to that point, before you take that step, I can't do that. Because I follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes. I follow him. He teaches me each and every day I should not do that. I cannot do that. Because I have to live a life holy to him. Why? Because I love him. Mm-hmm. I respect him. The Lord knows I fear him.
Yes.
Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, you are the Holy One of Israel. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to share your word. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's assembly right now, Father God, that got the opportunity to hear your word, Father God. You are good.
Yes.
My Lord and my Savior, my God who art in heaven, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, that you continue to have mercy on us, that you continue to bless us, Lord, with your patience, with your kindness, with your love, with your grace, Father God. I pray, Father God, each and every day, Father God, you remind us of your commandments, my Savior, so we can do everything, Father God, we can to keep them. Father God, you said if we love you, we will keep your commandments. And Father God, I pray each and every day, Father God, that you forgive us of our sins, my Savior, as we forgive those who sinned against us. Father God, I pray that you bless everyone in this room, Father God, to continue to follow your word, Father God, to be aware of the deceitfulness and the craftiness, Father God, of the wicked one, Father God. I pray and I ask, Lord Savior, that you deliver us from evil. Yes. And protect us from the evil one, my Savior. I pray, Father God, for all those, Father God, that were spoken about in prayer, for Lord, the Lord, that all those, Father God, that need healing.
Yes, Lord.
All those that need restoration.
Yes.
All those that need help, Father God. All those that need deliverance, my Savior. I pray, Father God, for mercy on them. I pray, Father God, to give them deliverance in every way, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father God, that you heal them, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, you are the Holy One. I pray that each and every day, Father God, as we walk, as we talk, as we are here, as we leave this place, my Savior, as we go home, as we do our daily things, Father God, that we let our light shine, my Savior, that we let the light of Christ shine through us, Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. I thank you, Lord, for making me born again.
Yes.
I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for each and opportunity, Father God, you give me the opportunity to share and teach your word.
Yes, Lord.
You are the Holy One, my Savior. I pray, Father God, you forgive me of my sins, my Savior. I pray, Father God, each day, Father God, that we live a life that is pleasing to you. Each moment that we live a life that is pleasing to you.
Yes.
I pray, Father God, you give us the awareness of selfishness, of self. Give us the awareness of those in our hearts, in our lives, my Lord,
yes,
so we can break every barrier of that.
Yes, Lord.
And we will continue, Father God, to reach out to you more and more, Father God, that we will continue, yes, Father God,
Jesus,
to glorify your name,
yes,
more and more, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask, amen.
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 One other thing, guys. The biggest idolatry in this world is self. Mm-hmm. Is self. When we think of ourselves more than we think of God.
Mm-hmm.
When we do things for ourselves, when we work for our success, for our money, for that bigger home, for that bigger car, for that promotion. We do things so we will get the praise rather than God getting the praise.
Jesus.
When we go and pray for someone and they say, oh, they were delivered because of my prayer, that is selfishness.
Yes.
We say someone was healed, or I cast a demon, you didn't cast anything out. It was the Lord Almighty,
amen,
who did it through you. And There's a lot of garbage out there, guys and girls. There's a lot of garbage being preached out there, guys and girls. A lot. Let us not fall into those traps.
Yes.
Don't fall into those traps. Even I have to be careful. And I'm sure Pastor Rob has to be careful. There's a lot of garbage. It sounds great. I could be up here and strain my voice and march out here and put on a face to make you believe. But it's not the truth. It's not the truth. God bless me, I got the biggest house. He'll do it for you. God bless me, I got the biggest car. It's leading people straight to hell. Mm-hmm. Be careful, everyone. Mm-hmm. Biggest idolatry out there is self. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
Brother, bless you all.
Thank you. God bless you for the word.
Yes.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to close this with this song of worship, and then I'll close this in prayer.
Amen.
Unending. Will be forever.